Okay, summer is officially here. And, for a lot of us who really live for that fall rut or spring turkey season, summer, it's kind of a weird time.
It is, yeah. A bit of a double-edged sword, as some say.
Exactly. You've got great weather, maybe some time off, but
Yeah.
those main seasons are closed. And that hunter's itch, it really starts setting in, doesn't
Oh,
it?
absolutely. You want to be out there doing something meaningful.
Yeah, more than just shooting endless clays or, polishing your tree stand for the 10th time.
And that feeling, that yearning, that's exactly what we're diving into today. We looked at sources tackling that exact question. Are there actually decent hunts available, after Memorial Day?
Right. What can you do?
So our mission here is to uncover some real actionable opportunities for you if you're feeling that off-season gap. We're looking past just prepping. We're talking actual harvesting.
Okay, let's do it. But first things first, right? Every source hammered this home. Location, location, location.
Absolutely fundamental. Hunting viability, especially in summer, it isn't just about the calendar month. It is almost completely dictated by where you are. Seasons, dates, what's legal, it all changes state by state, sometimes even region by region.
So step one is figuring out where you can potentially hunt.
That's it. Before you even think about what animal you need access. The sources we looked at basically laid out three main ways hunters get that summer access.
Okay.
First, probably the most straightforward, especially if you're willing to travel, guides and outfitters.
Right. Pay the expert who already has the spot and knows the rules. Makes sense.
Exactly. They've done the legwork. Second option, public land. Always an option, of course.
But maybe requires more homework finding those less obvious spots for summer game.
Potentially, yeah. You
Yeah.
might need to focus on areas or species that aren't the primary draw during fall. And the third way, which the sources really pushed as a smart, proactive move, is getting a quality hunting lease or, joining a hunting club.
Okay, let's pause on that lease idea because the sources got pretty specific about the business side of it. They talked a lot about insurance.
Yeah, that was an interesting nugget, wasn't it? It seems dry, but it's actually crucial.
Why insurance, though, from the hunter's perspective?
Well, think about it. If you're leasing private land, liability is huge. For you and the landowner. The sources mention specific types, like hunting lease insurance. That protects both parties.
Ah, okay. So it's about making the landowner comfortable, showing you're serious and responsible.
Precisely. Same idea with guides and outfitters insurance. If you're looking for a good summer lease, understanding that landowners want this protection and maybe even having proof of insurance yourself can be a big advantage.
And they also mentioned services like LeaseSpotter. How does something like that fit in?
Right. So LeaseSpotter, or platforms like it, they streamline that search massively. Instead of knocking on doors or making cold calls, you can search online for available leases.
Filter by state, maybe type of game allowed.
Exactly. You can filter by state, size, and crucially for summer, sometimes find leases specifically offering access for things like nuisance animals, which, as we'll see, is where a lot of the summer action is.
Got it. So it helps you actively find those year-round or off-season opportunities instead of just waiting for fall announcements.
It really flips the script on finding a spot.
Okay, so solve the access puzzle first. Guides, public land, or a lease, maybe using those online tools. Once you've got a place, what are you actually hunting? The pattern seemed pretty clear.
Very clear. Summer opportunities, by and large, revolve around population control. We're talking animals often labeled as, well, pests or nuisances.
And that nuisance label is key, right? Because it means the laws are often much more relaxed.
That's precisely why. It opens the door for high-paced, readily available hunting when other seasons are closed.
All right, let's get into specifics. The absolute king of this category has to be hog hunting.
No question, wild hogs.
It really is that luckily situation you hear about.
Unlucky for the states dealing with them, Florida, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, spreading elsewhere. They're invasive, incredibly destructive.
Devastating, really.
But luckily for hunters, that crisis creates a massive opportunity. Wide open seasons, high bag limits.
And it's important to understand why states are so aggressive. The sources emphasize just how damaging these animals are. They tear up farmland, root up roads, levees, infrastructure. They compete with native wildlife, sometimes even prey on fawns or ground nesting birds.
And they breed like crazy, right?
Extremely fast. The economic damage runs into the hundreds of millions annually. So, for most states battling hogs, hunting isn't just sport. It's a necessary tool for conservation and damage control.
Yeah.
That translates directly into those year-round or nearly year-round seasons.
And the way you can hunt them is also pretty varied, which is appealing in the off-season. You could be in a stand over a feeder with your deer rifle.
Or you could be doing spot and stalk maybe at night with thermal optics, which is becoming really popular. Yeah, the gear side gets interesting there. The sources mention things like AR platforms.
Right, and specifically why? When you're dealing with large groups, sounders of hogs, a semi-automatic platform, maybe an AR-10 and .308 or an AR-15 and something like 6.5 Grendel or .300 Blackout can be very effective.
Because you can take multiple shots quickly.
Exactly. Many states relax magazine capacity limits for invasive species control. It allows hunters to manage those population clusters more efficiently. It's a practical consideration for that type of hunt.
That's a level of detail beyond just use an AR. But then there's the really extreme end of hog control.
Yeah.
The helicopter hunting.
Especially in Texas, right, where the numbers are just staggering hundreds of thousands, maybe millions.
Yeah, the populations are so out of control in some areas that aerial gunning from helicopters has become a recognized, though obviously specialized and expensive, management tool.
So probably not your average weekend hunt, but outfitters do offer it. They do. It's a service aimed at removing large numbers quickly, often contracted for specific agricultural protection. But yes, you can book trips. It's definitely a unique experience.
Okay, moving from hogs, but staying with that nuisance theme, coyotes.
Yep, another animal often targeted for population control or because of conflicts.
They're described as scavengers. Super adaptable, they get into garbage, prey on pets sometimes, impact livestock or game birds like quail or turkeys.
And because they're so widespread and can cause those problems, the game laws around them tend to be, as the sources put it, pretty lax through the summer months in many places.
So another good summer option.
Definitely. Summer coyote hunting is great for keeping your skills sharp, especially calling. But the sources also made a good point about using summer strategically, even if the hunting itself might be better later.
Okay, what do you mean, using summer for prep?
Exactly. Think of summer as prime time for scouting coyote territory. Learn their travel routes, watering holes, practice your calling sequences without the pressure of freezing weather.
Right, because the sources did say hunting gets easier in winter, doesn't it?
Yeah, visibility is the big thing. Colder months, especially with snow cover, just make them easier to spot when they're out looking for food.
And their breeding season, too. That makes a difference. Like the deer rut.
Similar idea, yeah. January through March is typically peak breeding season. They're moving more, responding to calls more readily as they search for mates. Sightings definitely tend to climb then.
So dialing in your calls and knowing their haunts now, in July or August, sets you up for way better success come winter or early spring.
Precisely. Summer becomes valuable field research time.
Okay, let's shift gears completely now. Away from these widespread pest animals to something much more specialized, requiring more planning, maybe more experience, black bears.
Right, and the sources specifically pointed to a place like Idaho for this.
Idaho? For summer bears.
Yeah, apparently Idaho offers some serious black bear hunting that can bridge that gap between spring green up and the real heat of summer.
How late are we talking?
Well, depending on the specific unit and the year's snowpack, seasons in some parts of Idaho can run right through June.
June? Wow, that's definitely pushing into summer. That makes it a pretty unique opportunity for someone wanting a serious big game challenge then.
It really does, especially if you're willing to travel for it.
And the method mentioned was interesting, too. Hound hunting. That sounds intense.
It is. It's a very different style of hunting, not just having a dog nearby.
Explain that a bit. How does it work?
So hound hunting uses specially trained dogs, hounds, to pick up a bear's scent track. The dogs pursue the bear, often baying, until they force it to climb a tree, treeing the bear.
And then the hunter follows the hounds.
Yep. And that's the physically demanding part. You have to follow the sound of the hounds, often through really rough, steep country, sometimes covering miles, to get to the treed bear for a shot. It's an adrenaline rush for sure.
Sounds like it. The sources were clear, though. This isn't for beginners.
Definitely not. Bear hunts in general, and especially hound hunting in mountain terrain, are usually for more experienced, physically fit hunters. You need to be ready for serious hiking, steep climbs, maybe even dealing with leftover snow patches in June.
So proper gear, good fitness, and knowing what you're getting into are essential.
Absolutely. High preparation needed. Quality boots, good optics, layers, the whole nine yards.
Okay, from high mountains and big bears, let's go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Sea level reptiles. Iguanas.
Yeah. Probably the most unusual one on the list, right? But surprisingly, it's a real thing, and it ties back into that nuisance conservation angle.
Hunting reptiles. Those. Most hunters probably never even consider it, mm-hmm. but this is different.
It is. This isn't about sport as much as it is about, frankly, pest control mandated by an ecological crisis. We're talking Florida.
Right. Florida's iguana problem. What's the issue there? They're not native, are they?
Not at all. They're an invasive species, and their numbers have just exploded. And they are extremely destructive.
Destructive? How? Eating plants.
They do that, yes, devastating landscaping and native vegetation. But the bigger issue is their burrowing. They dig these extensive tunnels that undermine sidewalks, foundations, roads, pool decks, and really critically, seawalls and canal banks.
Wow, so actual infrastructure damage. That sounds expensive.
Millions in repairs. Plus, they carry and spread salmonella through their droppings, which is a public health risk, especially around pools and patios where people congregate.
So the state actually wants people to hunt them.
Explicitly. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, FWC, actively encourages landowners and the public to remove green iguanas from private property whenever possible. They're considered a non-protected invasive species.
Okay, so how do you hunt them? Seems tricky in populated areas.
It is, and that's why the sources strongly recommend using air guns, high-powered air rifles.
Ah, not firearms. Why air guns?
Precision and safety, mostly. Iguanas often hang out in backyards, near canals, on docks, places where discharging a traditional firearm would be unsafe or illegal. A good PCP air rifle offers enough power for a clean, humane kill at close to medium range, but with much less risk of overpenetration or ricochet compared to a rimfire or centerfire bullet.
So it's a specific tool for a specific job.
Yeah.
Helps clean up the state. Try a new kind of shooting.
Exactly. It's a unique summer challenge that directly contributes to conservation efforts in Florida.
We've covered quite a range then. Hogs, coyotes, bears, iguanas. But let's be real. Sometimes, maybe you can't travel. Maybe a guided hunt or a lease isn't in the budget. Is summer just a wash then?
Well, the sources did acknowledge that reality. Sometimes accessible hunting might just not be a viable option right in your backyard during peak summer.
So what's the alternative then?
When?
Just give up and wait for fall?
Not necessarily give up on the outdoors. The final recommendation was sort of, well, beyond just go fishing, although that's always great too.
Okay. What else?
Use the summer for serious conditioning and maybe even more focused scouting.
Conditioning? Like working out?
Yes, yeah, specifically for hunting. Summer heat is tough, right? But it's actually perfect for building endurance for the fall. Go hiking with your full pack. Practice hauling weight. If you're an archer, shoot hundreds of arrows. Really hone your form. If you're a rifle hunter, maybe work on long-range schools you don't have time for in season.
Ah, I see. Using the off-season to get in peak hunting shape.
Exactly. And scouting, too. Use the longer days to explore those deeper corners of public land you never seem to reach during the actual season. Find those hidden benches or potential bedding areas.
So even if you're not pulling a trigger on game, you're actively preparing to be more effective when opening day does arrive.
Precisely. You arrive physically ready, mentally sharp, maybe with new spots identified. That time is definitely not wasted.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So wrapping this up, we definitely moved past that initial confusion. Summer hunting isn't just random. It seems defined either by those unique regional opportunities like the Idaho bears running late,
mm-hmm.
or, more commonly, by tackling those big population control issues with nuisance animals. Hogs, coyotes, even iguanas down south.
Yeah, the key takeaway for you, the listener, really seems to be flexibility. Tactical flexibility. First, knowing your specific state and local laws is just non-negotiable. You have to do that homework.
Right.
And second, being willing to adapt your methods. You might go from a deer rifle in a stand to, you know, an air gun by a canal bank, or even thinking about the logistics for something wild like a helicopter hunt, if that's relevant where you are.
Changing approach based on the opportunity.
Exactly. That willingness to shift gears seems key to filling that time between spring turkey and fall deer season. The opportunities are out there, but you might need to look in different places and use different tools.
All right, so here's a final thought to leave everyone with, building on that nuisance animal theme. We see hogs and iguanas being managed through hunting, partly for conservation and infrastructure protection. What other non-traditional animals, maybe invasive species expanding in other regions, could end up on this summer hunt list in the future, you know, as environments keep changing?
That's a really interesting question to ponder. What's next?
Something to chew on until our next deep dive.